Are you ready to do this?
I think I'm ready to get into it.
It's been a long, shitty week, so let's go ahead and just dig into what we do for fun.
As the ghost of Obi-Wan.
Oh, yeah?
I got a whole bunch of them.
Sweet.
This was mail orders from the 90s. I put some up on an auction site. And this is from Star Wars 2, actually, but it's the Bomar Monk mail orders. It was a little robot from, I think it was from Return of the Jedi, I think. But it's a Bomar Monk. It's like a little spider.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't remember that guy.
Me neither, not until I saw these. But people dig them. They like to buy them.
All right, well, conspiracy abounds.
Yes. Something just caused that to happen.
Something just moved.
Conspiracy theorists unite. Do you have your foil hat?
All right, let's go straight into episode 45. This is the long-awaited one we've been talking about doing for a while. Strangely enough, our subject matter keeps changing on us, so it's very hard to prepare, so we just made a list. But this is called Conspiracy Theories. August 21st, 2017. We're going to talk about some conspiracy theories.
Yes.
We're not here to either prove them or debunk them. We're just going to discuss kind of general...
Some of the bigger conspiracies.
General ideas.
The more interesting ones.
And go from there. So before we get started on conspiracy theories, we got a very short old business segment.
And we got a short new business too, so...
Okay. Just not a whole lot happened on the 21st. It must be some sort of conspiracy. This date... In 1770, James Cook claims Eastern Australia for Britain. Calls it New South Wales. That's scary because everything in Australia wants to kill you.
Yes.
And even the stuff that doesn't probably would if given a chance.
Australia, you scary.
All right. This date in 1791... A voodoo ceremony turns into a violent slave rebellion, beginning the Haitian Revolution.
And Haiti has been just a hellhole since.
Mm-hmm.
Haiti's a rough place, man.
They just can't catch a break.
Nah.
Every time they start to get their shit together, then the ground rocks and all their houses fall on them.
Yeah, but unfortunately, they never got their shit together in time. Mm-hmm. It just they depleted all their natural resources. It's a very poor country. It's controlled by the government. I mean, maybe Dr. Valier just destroyed that country.
All right. Notable births. This date, 1754. Mr. William Murdoch invented gaslighting. So all of your cool Victorian mystery novels with that mm-hmm. gaslight thing going on, that was Mr. Murdoch.
Yep.
Notable births, this date in 1938. Kenny Rogers.
The Gambler.
Have you ever noticed how stupid that song actually is?
Gotta know when to hold them, baby.
I posted it on Facebook the other day. But if you walked into a guitar teacher, and you're like, hey, I want to learn how to play guitar. And he's like, well, I'll tell you what you need to know. You need to know chords, and you need to know scales. Now give me some money. Without actually showing you what chords or scales are, you'd be like, dude, no way. The Gambler's like, he totally scams him out of his stuff. He's like, if you give me some whiskey, I'll tell you how to play the game. Then he just says, you gotta know how to play the game. Then he dies. So Kenny's left there with no whiskey. He bummed his last cigarette and drank the last of his whiskey, and then he died in his train car, in his train cabin, and you're just like, well, Kenny just got screwed.
I don't know if you've ever seen the episode of Reno 911 with Kenny Rogers, but it is some classic shit, because he gets stuck in a police car with the biggest Kenny Rogers fan in the world, and he's just driving. He's seen all 5 Gambler movies and knows all the lines by heart. It is hilarious, dude. You gotta see it, because he just drives Kenny nuts.
It's funny, dude, because, like, well, you've seen all the plastic surgery that he's had.
Yeah.
He's a scary-looking guy. I mean, he does... He had plastic surgery that went wrong, so now he just kind of looks like a skull with hair. He kind of honestly looks kind of like Skeletor. No joke. And he had that very much just kind of country, bearded, grandpa look before. Yeah. But, I always think of that scene in Big Lebowski. He was a psychedelic, like, hippie singer before he made the country stuff.
Right.
Country is what broke him, but he was very much a psychedelic prog rock singer in the day.
But he found his niche in country, and it got huge.
You know, I gotta say, I'm sure he's done a lot of stuff that I haven't heard, but I've never really heard a Kenny Rogers song that you can't be like, dude, this sucks.
Right.
He's good at what he does.
He's kind of like a Lionel Richie of country.
True.
Very similar.
Speaking, it was
just one of the jokes in the Reno 911 is somebody says he's the white Lionel Richie, and somebody else goes, I thought Lionel Richie was the white Lionel Richie.
Dude, on the way over here, they announced a show. Was it Lionel Richie?
Really?
Yeah.
I'd love to see Lionel. I've seen him once. I'd love to see him again. He's an incredible musician, dude.
I'd go to Lionel Richie.
Dude, listen to some old Commodores. When I was going through my divorce, I used to listen to old Commodores music because he goes from being in love to telling the bitch to get out the house. Just back and forth the whole time. And all the tunes are just catchy and fun.
That's how you know he cares.
Lionel's a man. Dude, I remember reading his divorce to that girl who was on that show with Paris Hilton. Her mom was getting like $20,000 a month in alimony and shit, and like so much a year for mm-hmm. plastic surgery and all this other stuff. Lionel Richie was apparently loaded, dude.
Well, yeah, whenever that show was on, and it was like, oh, it's Paris Hilton. Okay, you know who she is, because she's an heir to a global hotel chain. Who's this chick that's her friend, who's obviously, you know, in the same peer group as she?
Right.
Nicole Richie. Okay, who's that? That's Lionel Richie's daughter. She's what? That guy who hasn't had a hit since the 80s?
But the hits he had.
Oh, no, they were big. I'm not yeah. dogging on, but, like, he was there, but you don't think of how loaded he was.
Right.
Besides just selling records, I'm sure he did a lot of producing. And,
yeah, and songwriting also. He had the Commodores, he had Lionel Richie. I mean, he's been around for a while.
Oh, yeah. And he's damn good. Not dogging on him, just kind of unexpectedly wealthy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He's loaded.
All right. Notable Beth.
Beths.
She's a notable Beth. Notable deaths this date in 1614. That bitch.
The Blood Queen.
The Blood Queen, Elizabeth Bathory.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Went ahead and gave up the ghost.
Well deserved death, I'm sure.
Well deserved death. What a bitch.
Crazy.
So that's.
For those of you who really want to know what we're talking about, look back on our episode on Elizabeth Bathory, and she.
Yeah, she wasn't nice.
No, not at all. Not at all.
She probably didn't tip either.
She didn't have anybody. Nobody was alive to tip. She just killed everybody. So,
somebody delivered her little virginal servant girls. Bring me a 14-year-old with big boobs and a Subway.
Alrighty, a little bit of new news. I got a couple of things to talk about. Nothing too big, but the big one is to Hell and Back, the Kane Hodder story. He's released a poster. Doesn't have a release date yet, but it's a documentary on the life and career of a horror legend, Mr. Kane Hodder. He's been beaten, bullied, and burned, and that's just the beginning. He talks about his whole career in this documentary. Sounds like it's going to be pretty good. There's no trailers for it or anything yet, but in the documentary they'll be having interviews with Kane himself, Bruce Campbell, Bill Moseley, Cassandra Peterson, Sid Haig, and Daniel Harris, just to name a few. So
nice.
I'm looking forward to seeing it for sure. Kane Hodder he's been involved with a lot more than people realize.
Well, he's the one. I mean, obviously, and if you're listening to this show, you know
who Kane Hodder is.
So I think he played Jason in four movies.
Yes, Final Friday, Jason X, number 7.
I think he started another one. Did he start? He didn't start in 6.
No, he started in 7.
7, yeah. So he started in the 7th movie, but he is without a doubt the quintessential Jason.
He's the most famous of them.
He's the most famous of the actors.
I don't know. Ari Lemon is.
Ari Lemon is famous for being Jason. Kane Hodder is.
Yeah, he's
famous for like Jason Voorhees. The way he moves, the way he acts, the way he does things, is a Kane Hodder. They modeled Kane Hodder for the game.
Yeah.
So he's got a. Like, I got that mask signed by Tom Savini.
Mm-hmm.
Savini actually asked if he wanted to sign it on the side so that Hodder could sign it on the top. And I told him, no, I want you on the top. I'm going to get Ari and Kane to sign it on the cheeks.
And Ari Lemon, I got to say, is an awesome guy. I got to hang out with him a few years ago. He's cool as hell, man. But he'll tell you he is the original Jason.
Oh, absolutely.
He was the first one.
No dogging. But I don't think I realized how much, and not to get off the subject of Hodder, because I love him too. I don't think I realized how much stuff that Tom Savini made that I just absolutely love and cherish as just existing.
Right.
It's like you can put it over yourself with a warm blanket of awesomeness that Savini, you know, so. When I brought him that mask, it wasn't a matter of like, hey, you did Jason. It was like, you did so many things.
You're a legend.
You're a legend. Signing a Jason mask to me was like, because Jason's my favorite all-time movie serial killer. Throw a Tom Savini signature on the forehead, then I'll get the other guys to sign it later.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've got that mask. As soon as I can get a... I'm going to get Hodder, Lehman, and... Corey Feldman to sign that mask.
That would be cool, yeah.
And then I'm going to put it in a shadow box.
He was in town for a concert this past week.
He was.
Andy went.
How was it? Did he tell you?
Yeah, he said it was pretty good, but what was most fascinating is before the concert, there was a DJ that kind of like just got the crowd going, DJing on an Atari 2600.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool playing electronic music with an Atari 2600. It was pretty badass, yeah. You put a video up on Facebook of it, and he Facebook lived for like 15 minutes.
That's cool.
Just another little aside. I found this list. It was pretty interesting. I thought I'd go ahead and share a couple of the parts of it. But horror movies that got people investigated, punished, or even arrested. There's been some horror movies that have gotten to the point where a couple of them are interesting stories behind them.
Cannibal Holocaust. He had to prove that.
He had to prove that he didn't kill the lead actress.
Yeah.
And he didn't get released until she showed up in court.
Yeah.
And they finally went ahead and overturned the guilty verdict. They had found him guilty of it. That was a pretty bad one. That's Cannibal Holocaust in 1985.
In the days before cell phones, can you imagine? It's like her number.
Track her down!
Her number's unlisted. Well, we're about to throw gavel down on you. I'm like, oh no.
Okay, in 1971, there was a movie called The Lizard in a Woman's Skin, which is kind of apropos with one of our conspiracy theories we're going to talk about tonight. But an accusation of animal cruelty, and the director had to bring the fake dead dogs to court to prove to people that it was just special effects, that he didn't actually kill any animals.
Man, people go crazy over dogs.
Yeah, a lot of these involve the animal cruelty.
Well, I remember Stephen King in his On Writing book talks about how like there's a scene in The Dead Zone where the politician guy, he's before he goes into politics, but he's still sadistic. He's like a traveling salesman, and he mm-hmm. goes up to a house, and the dog's barking at him, and the dog then just annoys him, so he just finally just kicks the dog and knocks it over, and then just stands there and just stomps the dog to death. It's a scene in the book.
Right.
And then King was getting hate mail about his animal cruelty, and he was like writing, he said that at first he was trying to explain himself and the character motivated. He's like, wait a second. First of all, the town doesn't exist. The man doesn't exist, and the dog never existed either. It was a scene in a horror novel. Like,
yeah, it's not real.
This is to prove how evil of a person this was, but no animals were actually harmed in the making of this book. It's just like, Wow.
Okay, another one. Mark Twitchell's House of Cards. Familiar with it?
Mm-mm.
Mark Twitchell wrote and filmed a horror movie, which included a murder. Then weeks later, he carried out an actual murder just that had been written and filmed. He actually did it. He's in jail right now, serving a life sentence for the murder of Johnny Altinger. Twitchell has since been dubbed the Dexter Killer after the award-winning series on Showtime, and this case is sometimes referenced in an attempt to prove a link between depictions of violence and actual violence. So his case is sometimes used showing, like, if somebody's trying to do an argument against violence in video games and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, he was just a psycho that...
But he made the movie.
He made the movie, filmed the movie, and then went and killed somebody in the same vein as the movie.
Okay.
Another one. Guinea Pig Flowers of the Flesh and Blood. Ever heard of it?
No.
1985 movie. It was an Asian film. After viewing this film in 1991, Charlie Sheen initiated an FBI investigation after being thoroughly convinced he had just watched a snuff film.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Japanese filmmakers were forced to produce a documentary explaining how the extreme gore effects were created in order to end the investigation. Yeah, Charlie Sheen saw it and freaked out.
Wow.
And said, yeah, I want these people taken care of. And
if Charlie Sheen's taking moral high ground on anything, it's gotta be messed up.
Yeah. Think about it.
Yeah.
You know, I think he would have thought it was a drug-induced thing that he thought he saw it, but he didn't really see the movie. And last but not least, since we recently talked about this, Night of the Living Dead. What happened with Night of the Living Dead? In the 1990s, a man named Peter Bayliss forced a child under his care to watch Night of the Living Dead as a punishment for bad behavior.
Wow.
Yes, he resulted in being charged with child endangerment. He addressed the accusation in 2016, apologizing to his victim and confessing to suffering from alcoholism at the time. But yeah, he got charged with child cruelty for forcing someone to watch Night of the Living Dead.
Dude, I told you my kid hasn't been sleeping. And so, like, I'm sitting here right now on, like, 3 or 4 hours of sleep from last night, and not all at one time. You ever hear that Chris Rock thing where he's like, I wouldn't kill her, but I understand.
I'm saying, yes. Like, not saying I'd do it.
But I get it. Just kidding, baby, if you're listening to this. I'm not going to make the baby watch Night of the Living Dead. Might make her watch something boring so she actually goes to sleep. The last thing I want to make her do is not, like, be scared or not, like, too scared to go to sleep more. Jesus.
All right. I'm talking about some conspiracy theories.
What you got?
Well, this one, I picked out a few that we could discuss. This one I found interesting because, as you know, I'm a big fan of the movie Red with Bruce Willis. And I've actually started reading the comic book series, which is a lot more violent than the actual movie itself. The Moses in the comic book series is a bad, bad motherfucker, dude. He doesn't play. But there's a scene in Red where he's talking to Marvin, and Marvin goes into a room to find a file, and he tells his lady, he goes, come to find out it was true, he was given daily doses of LSD for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, MK Ultra is the CIA's mind control project of giving LSD to people unknowingly and forcing them to go. CIA was involved in developing a sophisticated mind control program in the 1950s. The project was called MK Ultra. It's the most infamous of these projects, but because of a media blackout on the subject, very few people are aware of the disturbing programs. And there has been an article written by the Washington Post about this. But you familiar with the mind control stuff?
I am. I know. Well, I know that they were administering massive doses. Well, first of all, they used LSD as a treatment for all kinds of different mental problems.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, they were, they had different levels of success with different, obviously, doses and or problems. But whenever it came out, it was kind of a wonder drug.
Like, yeah.
Obviously, it was never, like, sold in pharmacies, but it was thought to be a truth serum, a mind control drug, a
antipsychotic,
like all kinds of stuff, and so it only stands to reason that they would test it in all kinds of ways to see what it was capable of.
Right.
So that's one of those that's obviously it's a conspiracy theory, but it's so plausible as to, like, Like, why wouldn't you believe it? Because some politician said it didn't happen?
Well, I think what makes this one just kind of fall into the conspiracy theory thing is it wasn't... This was given to people without them knowing.
Right.
You know, it was very underhanded the way the CIA was handling it. Some of the whistleblowers from, like, the 60s and stuff died suddenly whenever they came out and started talking about it. So, it's an interesting program, to say the least, that to think that this was going on. Oh. You know, and God knows what else they're doing to us now. You know, what are they putting in our milk? You know, that kind of thing.
Well, there was just an article that came out a couple of days ago that was talking about lowering sperm, like, sperm count decline. Like, there's so many things discussing it, but it's a lot of it's like fluoridated water and whatever it is, stuff they want to put in the contrails or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever it is that's keeping the populace kind of cowed in the face of all kinds of really messed up things that would have caused revolution. I mean, look at it. I mean, we talked about it last week in the history segment. We went to war with Britain, okay? Britain was the United States of its time.
Yeah.
It was the most powerful country in the world, with the strongest military and the most money. The sun never set on the British Empire. They were tremendously powerful. They were the only superpower on Earth. And we went to war with them over a 3% tax on tea. And won. Okay, so there's that. Those guys standing out in that field, facing those cannons, facing those redcoats, dealing, like, they weren't putting up with no shit. And they were pissed off. And you look at our, like, what we've gone to war over as people. Like, what we've gone to war over, and I'm not talking about our pissant, like, police actions in other parts of the world. I'm talking about, like, all-out war. World War One. Okay, why the hell was America involved in World War One? Why did we care if Germany and France fought yet another war?
Yeah.
Why did we care? Why was Britain involved? Why did we care if Germany took a little bit of property from France? Like, really, at the end of the day, why were we involved? Like, well, we went over there and we whooped ass.
To keep them in their place.
People were brawny and
carry hot, a big stick.
And hot-blooded back then.
Yeah. They didn't take shit.
Not so much now.
Yeah, we allow a lot of things to happen now.
We allow a lot of things to happen. And that...
Think about going to war for a 3% tax, and think about the taxes that we pay now on gasoline.
We pay nearly 40% on everything. 40 to 50%, not even, that's before we even buy anything. So, I mean, that's an average tax bracket.
And we'll never see any of it back.
No, not at all. So... Yeah, I mean, how do you know that you're not tripping just a little bit right now?
You know? We might be on the fingernail of a big creature.
Right.
Alrighty, so that's it on the LSD program. Now, unfortunately, in high school, I was a volunteer for the LSD program, but not the CIA-sponsored one, so mine costs money. So where to next?
Oh, you've got the moon and you got Area 51.
Well, they kind of go together. Area 51 is actually on most of the list I saw. It was called the government's worst kept secret. Everybody knew it was there, everybody, but the government kept denying it anyway. It was just ridiculous. Independence Day kind of shine a light on Area 51.
Everybody
a little
knew
what
bit. It was.
Yeah, everybody knew what it was and where it is. Now, whether or not there's actual aliens there, I don't know. But there is a government facility called Area 51.
Well, you know, the thing is, I'm pretty sure, and this goes deeper conspiracy than Area 51, there are these things called fronts. Like, when you have 12 dry cleaners all in like two square blocks and none of them ever have any clothes in them.
And they're not closing down.
Right. Convenience stores that don't sell anything, you know, that kind of stuff that are just fronts for illegal activity. if you were the government, and if you had a clandestine base out somewhere that was past its prime, how easy is it to just go throw up a whole bunch of top secret, no entry, and get a whole bunch of people looking this way, when in reality, all your other stuff's over in Colorado somewhere?
Right, wagging the dog.
You know, so I certainly believe in Area 51. As far as the alien stuff, we talked about our aliens thing, where I believe that most of it is us. I think it's high tech. I think it's very advanced. You know, we talked about a 3% tax causing war. The fact of the matter is that if everybody in the United States took all of their net worth, including their homes and all of their cash, and put it all on the front steps of the Capitol building, we'd be nowhere near a quarter of our debt. So that money is coming from somewhere.
Right.
And there's a lot of money that you don't know where it's going and what it's for, and $500 toilet seats and all that stuff, that they've got all kinds of weapons grade stuff and aeronautics and submarines and all kinds of crazy stuff that we don't know about.
Yeah.
That's just a given.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, and then if it crashes, you call it alien spacecraft.
Right. It's yeah, because you've never seen it before. You don't know what it is.
Yeah. So there's that.
Right.
The thing when I talk about conspiracy theories is not to try to prove or disprove it, but just kind of follow the money and find the plausibility of it. I was talking to a guy earlier, he's one of my customers, and he's like, "Oh man, what's up with Trump? What, you know?" And I don't know why he thought that I would be interested in this conversation, but he's like, "He's just doing this, he's just doing that, and blah, blah, blah." And I was like, "You know," I was like, "I just wanted to put him, I either want him just to think I'm a weirdo and stop talking, or, but this is my actual truth. This is what I actually think. I think that every president since, well, let's say maybe Johnson, because it's pretty, you know, I think every president, as soon as he's sworn in, he's taken to a little room, and they're like, roll tape, and they show the Kennedy assassination from a different angle, and they're like, you can say as much as you want. You can move the line from where we are, you can move it this far to the left or this far to the right, but ultimately, it's business as usual, and you don't really have any power.
It's like Prince said, nothing changes but the date.
It's it. So that's my conspiracy, is I think that there's, you know, a shadow government that's just... And not necessarily that they're nefarious, which, I mean, obviously they are, but not that they're like...
killing people or anything in the back rooms or something.
They
want to maintain the status quo.
I think they are killing people in the back rooms, but I think that the reality of it is all these conspiracy theorists that think, like Alex Jones, that think that we're going to get raided by the UN and we're going to have all these blue helmets coming through and putting people in FEMA camps and all that stuff. The reality is that none of that is necessary. The government wants you going to work and going home and paying your taxes and contributing to an economy, contributing to a status quo that, while it's troublesome, it's functional.
Yeah.
And the reality is, with as bad as, you know, the DMV and all the government programs and all the waste and bullshit, they know that they could hire a couple of accounting and marketing firms out of Madison Avenue and have all that shit solved in a week. It's easier to keep, like, we're just pissed off enough to not be happy, but not pissed off enough to storm the gates.
Right.
And that way, everybody kind of stays in their pockets.
Right.
Stays happy. Argues over hot button issues and things that... It's like one of those things, and again, not to talk about specific issues, but I find it bizarre when you have some state representative running for re-election and they make a big deal about his stance on abortion. It's like, dude, if his stance was full-on infanticide, he cannot affect that from the position. That's not his job that he's trying to get. So why does it matter?
Right.
It doesn't.
They're not going to overturn Roe v. Wade.
Well, he's not. Specifically, right. He's not. So, you know, if he says he wants to, I don't know, decrease the trade deficit or whatever, these are things that maybe he can affect in his position.
Right.
These hot button issues, they can't, but they always conflate the argument in those things so that people stay just a little bit mad.
What they do
but
is,
not mad enough to storm the gates.
They hype it to where it can be this bad.
Right.
But it never gets that bad. So you're like, phew,
yep,
we're fine. Saying, I hate to use this as an example, but sneakers or gasoline. Let's bump the price, you know, from $1 to $7. And let's bring it back down to $4.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, phew, thank God.
It's not so.
Gas was $1.
Yeah.
But we're all of a sudden okay that it's $4 because it's not $7 anymore.
Exactly.
And it's a way to keep people complacent. And that way you don't worry about trying to change anything.
My dad told me the story of, you're talking about gas. He was in the high school in the 60s. And he went to Memorial High School. And the kids at Memorial, a lot of them are the kids of people who owned car dealerships up and down I-10 here. So he knew people who had new cars every other week because they were driving, dealership demos and stuff. My dad was a surfer. So one day his buddy comes and picks him up, and they hop in this big old boat of an Oldsmobile, and they run on down to Surfside. Then they run around Surfside looking for girls, and they go do their stuff. And at some point, somebody's like, hey, you need money for gas? And he's like, oh, no, it's got some kind of new carburetor or converter on it. It gets something like 40 miles to the gallon. And this is a big old 1960s boat of an Oldsmobile.
Uh-huh.
It's like, it's going to be the next big thing. And they drove around all weekend on one tank of gas. He says, and after that, after he turned it in, the vehicle went away. And it never came out again. He said he saw the body style, but it had a traditional engine in it.
Right.
But whatever tech was on it, you know, that would have crippled the economy. That would have shut the economy down. But they had the technology then. You know, there's a lot of stuff that they, I'm sure they've got all kinds of stuff just ready to launch if need be.
But it would cripple segments of the economy, just like you said.
It would.
You know, because, you know, one side feeds off the other. You know, the restaurants depend on people working in the oil field to buy food for lunch.
Absolutely.
You know, you drop the price of oil, all these people lose their jobs, and it's a trickle effect.
Right.
You know, and you got, it's a way of maintaining that.
Well, and it's the old, you know, horse and buggy thing. Everybody is concerned about the oil man. Nobody's all real concerned about the saddle maker.
Right.
But at some point, the technology just got ubiquitous and nobody needed a horse anymore. It went obsolete.
Yep.
But if you have a giant global conspiracy, keeping that horse and buggy in place, then you'll never know about the advent of the car, of the internal combustion engine. You know what I mean? And
look at the tax revenue generated by a gallon of gasoline.
Right.
The government does not want you using less gas, and that's exactly why they want to do a mileage tax.
Now. Right.
You know, in the event that these more efficient engines do come into play.
And the thing about conspiracy theories, to me, too, is not necessarily the... It's not necessarily the conspiracy, because, I mean, there have been a lot of conspiracies that have been proven. It's like back in the 50s. It's like there's a big conspiracy, like, oh, the conspiracy theory that the tobacco companies, they're hiding the results, you know, they're not allowing it to be published, that it's proof that it's dangerous. Well, come to find out, that was true. But if you were to talk about it in like the 50s, they'd think you were just a conspiracy theorist.
Right,
like,
there were people on TV smoking, for God's sake.
The government would certainly tell us. And at the end of the day, it's not even a matter about whether or not the companies were doing it. It's that the companies and the government were in collusion with one another because all those congressmen were on the take. And it only got to a point where they're going to find out, and it's going to be my ass.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to turncoat. Which brings us to another conspiracy. I don't believe that people are allergic to gluten, and I don't think that tobacco causes cancer. The shit they spray on it does. But we're only just now getting to the slow burn of the ingested chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it affects faster if you inhale the burnt chemical, yeah, the insecticide or the herbicide or whatever else. It's present on the tobacco leaf or whatever. So, yeah, more immediate results. But if you go back and you read literature and history, I mean, you go back and read Sherlock Holmes, like Hound of the Baskervilles. You know, one of the main characters, he's a doctor who's got a heart problem, and the hound scares him to death because he's out on the moor smoking a cigar to calm his nerves.
Mm-hmm.
Right? People, doctors, everybody smoked all the time. If it had such a 100% total death rate, then we would be near extinct now.
Right.
But it wasn't until the 50s, after World War II, whenever all of these chemicals that were used for defoliation, mm-hmm, you know, all of these...
were brought back.
All of these poison chemicals designed to kill plants and to kill people were retooled as insecticides, right, and herbicides. I mean, Bayer, the people who make your aspirin, were the ones who produced sarin gas for the Nazis.
Right.
I mean, just because it doesn't kill you today doesn't mean it won't. And I'm certain there's all kinds of symptoms that have been classified as like, oh, you just need to eat less red meat and exercise more. Well, probably.
You know,
we probably don't need to be inhaling glyphosate either.
Right. So. And from there, we can actually go into big pharma and medical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's money in the treatment, not in the cure.
Absolutely.
You know, they don't make money if you get cured, you don't come back.
There's that. There's the whole going back and forth on Obamacare, and we can talk about, well, we can save whether or not people will die if there's not a government solution. Like, that's not even the argument. The argument is everybody interchangeably uses the word health care with health insurance. Well, insurance is not supposed to work the way that health insurance does. You have insurance on your car.
Mm-hmm.
You said your car, you've got a piece broken.
Yes.
Are you going to file a claim on your insurance?
No.
If you did file a claim on your insurance, would they pay for it anyway?
No.
Why is that?
Because it's not covered.
Because it's a part that could break.
Yeah.
And it's not something that's fully out of your control.
Yep.
Yeah. So, pharmaceuticals, government, insurance companies, medical supply companies, they have all of these prices overly inflated because you as a consumer don't actually know what the cost is.
Yeah.
And you expect, you know, your kid falls down and breaks their arm. Kids are going to break their arm. Kids are going to fall down and break their arm. And they got 49 cents worth of plaster, and x-rays have been around for 100 years, so it can't cost that much to take an x-ray and a couple of aspirin, and you're on your way. Why does it cost you a couple $1,000s? It's because the insurance is paying for it.
Yeah.
But the purpose of insurance is you have to have more people paying into it and not using it.
For it to be profitable.
Yeah. And as soon as you're using it for everything, then it's no longer solvent, and math is going to take you down.
Yeah.
So then they go in and find the government and be like, hey, the only way we can stay solvent is if you make people who don't need it pay for it. But eventually they're going to come to roost, because eventually those people who are paying for it now are going to need it later.
Yeah.
So it's all one big...
a la Social Security.
Right. It's all one big circular conspiracy. And it's evil. It's
designed to fail.
It's, yeah. And it's designed at the end that you get nothing and you're thankful for it. Because it could be worse. You could be living in, like, Somalia or something.
Okay. So, talking about space, aliens, and whatnot. Did we land on the moon?
That's a tough one.
A lot of people think that all six landings were faked. And they have their reasons. What do you think? Some of the reasons people give are just from the photographs that were published. The biggest one that people throw out of there all the time is that the flag should not be waving if it's on the moon. And you can see the flag rippling.
There's that. I don't know. There's all kinds of stuff. The thing is, though, we've got... the moon itself, but the solvency of space travel. I mean, we've got satellites, and we've got probes. And I don't really see, like... It would be a whole lot more expensive to try to convince everybody that there was a little device floating around in the outer atmosphere or just out in an orbit,
mm-hmm.
than to just say it's a tower. Like, there's no real gain in...
Well, the only gain that I've seen people's arguments, the valid point, because I always say why. You know, if somebody tells me something's going on, explain to me why that would be happening. Because I have to have a plausible reason. You know, nobody's just going to do something like that just to do it. The space race was really hot at that time.
Mm-hmm.
The quick way to go ahead and take the lead is to get somebody on the moon.
True. The only problem with that is... Well, to be fair, you can't prove that it didn't. So you can't prove a negative, right. Unless you go up there yourself and then... How are you going to do that?
Right.
It's kind of like that Hesed, that
and don't get me wrong.
That child slave colony on Mars that Alex Jones was saying.
Yeah.
NASA's like, there's no child slave colony on Mars. It's like, that was precisely what someone with a child slave colony on Mars would say.
Right. And don't get me wrong. I believe that we went to the moon.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I don't doubt it at all in my mind. Just playing devil's advocate right
here. Oh, absolutely.
Here.
No. I'm saying, when you ask if I believe in it, it's like, it's one of those hard things because it's approving the negative.
Yep.
You have to kind of give them what you're told. There is some compelling evidence, but also the people with the compelling evidence or who present the compelling evidence are using our current state of technology to criticize people that had primitive technology. So they're like, oh, well, this shouldn't be. And it's like, well, you don't know how the frame caught the light in that moment.
Right.
Right?
The shadows may have been going different from two different light sources.
Exactly. So, you know, there's no way to disprove it. It's just one of those things that if you believe it, you know, I saw something the other day that's like Stanley Kubrick. They say that Stanley Kubrick filmed the moon landing, and that there's signs because, you know, like Danny in The Shining is wearing a NASA shirt. Like somehow that's a confession. And it's like it was kind of like an Onion sort of blog that's like, well, he did film the moon landing, but he was such a perfectionist that he actually went to the moon to do it. Like he filmed the fake moon landing on the moon.
Right. But yeah, a lot of people believe that it was fake. On My Name Is Earl, that show that used to come on, Crabman on Money, he was a big believer that it was faked. He used to talk about it all the time.
Yeah, he was also a CIA informant.
Yes, he said it was filmed in his uncle's garage, actually, is what he used to say all the time.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I fully believe that we landed on the moon. But people are always looking for the conspiracy behind everything.
And absolutely.
This is one of those right here.
Totally.
So you want to get into a little Cornell?
Okay, so I read this article not too long ago. Well, obviously not too long ago because it was just a couple weeks ago that Chester Bennington from Linkin Park killed himself on Chris Cornell's birthday.
Right.
Hung himself. I don't know. I don't think either one of them left a note. They were both very sudden. They had only just recently spoken to their family. And the coroner's report was kind of like an open and shut. But come to find out that apparently Chris Cornell had only just recently started a foundation or was working on starting a foundation for troubled youth and sexual assault. Chester Bennington, having been a victim of sexual assault in his life, was Chris Cornell's friend and was part of the foundation. one of the things that apparently came over the police scanner in Cornell's situation is that he did have a like an exercise band wrapped around his neck, but he also had blunt force trauma to the head. And somehow or another, in trying to revive him, the paramedics broke 9 of his ribs. So, I don't know how many people you know that have been through CPR, but generally breaking 9 ribs is...
it's easy to avoid.
It's not that's not how they teach you to do the chest compressions. But that... basically, that they were about to expose a ring of pedophiles in Hollywood and around, that they were basically just kind of on a mission to bring it to light. And the wrong people found out about it, and now their own legacy is besmirched with them having taken their own lives.
Right, and there's been talk of, the pedophilia that goes on in Hollywood for a long time. And Corey Feldman is one of the ones that talks about it all the time.
And he was on a fast track, or I mean, he was on like not a fast track, but he was on kind of a hiatus or a comeback run. And he started talking about that, and then now he's kind of a joke.
Yeah.
Now I love Corey Feldman.
Me too.
Like, I would never say it, but if you Google him, there's so many people that are laughing at him for all of his antics and stuff. And I honestly feel like he was probably put in that position because he spoke up.
Yeah.
And he even said, like, I was never raped, but Corey Haim was. You know? And Corey Haim's like, and you know who did it, too. He's like, I know I was there. Like, that's messed up.
Yeah.
You know? And, I don't know, man. Like, there's certain things... Now, I realize that people die. We're all fragile... But my buddy and I, he got mad because when Heath Ledger died, he's like, oh man, that role of the Joker just took so much of his soul. I was like, no, he didn't. He did an excellent job and he worked real hard, but he essentially read The Killing Joke and then he went and channeled Tom Waits.
Mm-hmm.
He was a good actor, but his source material is pretty straightforward.
Right.
Go hit a YouTube and Google hit up YouTube and look up Tom Waits' early years and the Joker. They both kind of talk the same and they're both kind of like this and they both kind of have that Boston accent and they're just kind of like, and they chain smoke and they're just kind of weird and it's just kind of twitchy. And it's really not hard to channel if you know what you're doing, especially if you're a talented actor. No way, dude. He was playing the Joker, first of all, in a Batman movie.
And the Joker from the Dark Knight series, which a lot of people that aren't familiar with the Batman series don't realize how the Joker of past is a lot different than the Joker from Dark Knight Returns.
Right.
Yeah, it makes it... You start talking Arkham Asylum Joker, and he's a psychotic.
But he was on top of the world, and nobody wanted him to play that role. They thought he was too... They thought he was miscast. And he brought the noise. And he won an Academy Award for it. But he died... You know, I think there's a star killer out there. And I think sometimes they do a profit and loss statement. And they think, well, you know... this guy to us is worth X million, but he's, you know, alive. But he's worth a whole lot more dead.
Because this movie's going to...
Because this movie's going to kill it. Let's, you know, let's find a way to cash him in. You know,
and right.
It's sad, but stranger things have happened.
Oh yeah.
So I don't know. I really, it's one of those things. Like, is murder versus suicide versus a heart attack or a drug overdose? But if that's true, I mean, who's next?
Yeah.
Because they're not the only two that ever talked about it. You know, but
the thing about it is what you're saying right now, I was actually thinking about this earlier. You know, just, you know, the same way a car company will look, okay, if I do a recall and save, you know, the 5 lives that are going to die, how much is that going to cost me versus fixing this part?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just go ahead and let the people die. You know, the same type of thing.
Well, that's not that way anymore, because of
Yeah, Ford. They've changed the rules, but that has happened before.
No, that was Ford. That was Ford with Pinto.
Yeah.
It's going to cost too much to do a recall, and the chances of it actually blowing up are slim to none, so let's just let it go.
But you can see the same type of thing
but
happening.
But they knew about it. Yeah. They knew about the potential, and they didn't do anything about it, and people died.
And you can see the same thing happen in a Hollywood-type setting with, you know, this movie isn't getting a whole lot of play. Should we kill this guy? And then all of a sudden, this movie will be hyped up, and everybody's going to want to see it because they love this actor.
Mm-hmm.
Same type of situation.
Right. And he just delivered a performance of a lifetime. Let's take him out on top, and we'll always be able to sell a poster.
Yeah.
You know, it's evil, but more evil things have happened in the world.
Yes.
So...
How are we on time? Do we need to do a part two of our conspiracy?
I think we do. We're about we're getting close. I'm going to call that episode 45.
Yeah, we're going to bring, because we have a lot more to talk about.
We got another big old stack of papers.
I don't want to go too fast through it. I want to make sure that we get into it, get to the meat of everything. So
absolutely,
looks like we're going to have a conspiracy episode part two.
Cool. All right, guys. The opinions expressed are only ours.
Yes, and it's only opinions. You know,
if you get pissed off at me because you love Obamacare, just realize that I don't care.
We don't care either way.
We're just talking about the evil hands that kind of have their fingers into things. You think they're good, you think they're bad. You're mad at your brother because he thinks it's good and you think it's bad. In reality, there is kind of a shadow world of people who don't care whether or not you like your brother, but they're going to get your tax money anyway.
These are just these super rich people that stay rich. Patrice O'Neill said it best. The reason that he would never be super rich is because he can't not care.
Right.
You got to be able to not give a shit about whether you live or die in order to become one of these super, super wealthy people.
Exactly. And he does.
Yes.
Keep it scary, guys.
Later.